Passing riches, there's a lot of things about riches, and if there is anyone qualified to talk about riches, it's Solomon, as we know. The first 14 words is the primary one I want to look at, and in closing, the 15 through 29, then the second part of that chapter, if you want to really understand what the second part is saying, you have to know the first part. If you know what he's talking about, verse 1 to 14, then the second part is very easy to go through. I will only walk through the second part, but we'll spend a little time this morning on the first 14 verses. The key words, if you are looking for a key verse in this chapter, it is chapter 14, the first part of chapter 14. This is what it says: in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one, meaning prosperity and adversity, one against the other. So that's the main theme of this chapter. And then he goes on to explain the first part, and then he goes on to the second part. In between, he says why God does what he does. Verse 2 to 4, if you look at, Solomon says that it is better to go to the house of mourning or crying, weeping, than to go to the house of feasting or laughing, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it in his heart. And I am sure all of us at some point in your life and my life, we have gone to funeral services. Some people don't even like to go to funeral services because it's a sad situation. But Solomon says, when you go to a sad home, a mourning home, well, it doesn't have to be always a funeral home, or somebody is severely sick, or situations of life that beyond a man can help, we call it a mourning, a house of mourning. But Solomon says in verse 2, it is better to go such places, for what? That is where you learn a lesson. For that's the end, there you will learn the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. And I'm sure when, I'm just quoting only on the funeral home at this moment, but if you go to the funerals, you go there and really the Lord speaks to our hearts in many ways. Number one, our life is very short. It doesn't matter who you are and how much you have, what the wealth and education and all the fame and you have, life is very short. And I think I have spoken about this some time back. It is like 27,260 days. Scripture says either 70 the lowest, highest 80, or somewhere in the middle, average 75 years is 27,260 years. Probably 26,000 is over for me. Our life on this earth is very short, and shorter than you think. You could even multiply that with the 60 minutes, and then you can say 24 hours, and you can see how many hours you have in your life. So Solomon says, when you go to a house of mourning, it will give you a thought how short your life is. And he explains much more than this in this chapter. Then he talks about the benefits of prosperity in verse 11 to 12. Wisdom is good and an inheritance. By it there is profit to them that see the sum. For wisdom is defense and money is defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that with that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So there are benefits of prosperity according to Solomon. There's nothing wrong in prosperity. No, I mean, the word prosperity is not simply limited to money. Prosperity is health. If you have good health, you are prospering in health. If you have money, if you are prospering financially. If you have knowledge and education, you are prospering in your education. If you are other things, the Lord prospers you in everyone's life. That comes together as a prosperity. There is nothing wrong in it. But Solomon's advice to you and me this morning is, yes, it is good to have prosperity in our life, but be wise in what we do. If it is wisely used, I was told some time back, but I haven't talked to any filthy rich person myself, but I was told the filthy rich people are the most miserable people on this earth. People have unlimited amount of money. They don't even know how much they have in their account. They are the most miserable people. So if you think money will satisfy you, Solomon says that is not true. Because there is no human being on the face of this earth who had prosperity and wisdom and money like Solomon. Therefore, he says it is vanity and we have to listen to him. And in verse 5 to 10, in between these two things, he says there are two conditions, in the two of these conditions. One is the end of life or shortness of life, and we learn from them. Then there is prosperity of life. In between, in verse 5 to 10, he says he warns that both adversity and prosperity offer many, listen to this, many temptations to abandon a wise lifestyle and live like a fool. This is what Solomon says. If you are coming to a house of mourning and understand about the shortness of life, and on the other end of the spectrum, if you know that you are prospered by the Lord, it is very possible that we will be tempted to live like a fool. And I know of many people who live like that, who are very wise and wisdom and prospered people, very rich people, but they lived like a fool. And that temptation can come. I'm not talking about people out there. I'm talking about among the people of God themselves. He uses the word better. If you notice while he's reading, the word better is used 8 times in this chapter, about 5 times in the first few verses alone. He is talking there is a better way of life. There is better benefit of what God provides you. And that is what he is bringing to our attention. And verse 1 begins with one of the most important words. Word in there is, good name is better than the day of death, than one's birth. Oh, I'm sorry. Name is better than precious ointment. He brings the word oil in it. The oil represents joy. The oil represents prosperity. The oil represents reputation. The oil represents power and money. Well, we know the countries who has a tremendous amount of oil, they're trying to control the economy of the world. So oil has its own representation throughout the scriptures, and that's what Solomon saying here. It does represent, it is a symbol of prosperity and reputation, but more than that, scripture also talks about oil, talks about joy in life. He says it is better to come to the end of life. Well, I can think of people who came to the end of life in a terrible situation more than what they started their life. They may have a good life, a starting life. They may have a good life that is going on for a while, but they come to an end which is miserable and dishonoring the Lord. For Solomon says it is better that you come to the death, it is better than any precious oil, everything that we talked about, the day of death, than the day of one's birth. Take it seriously, think about this. Where did you start your life? From the date of your birth, or your rebirth into the family of God? Where are you in your walk? Has it ever gotten any better? Or are you still the same place? Or are you on the downward path? Unfortunately, many believers that I know of, sometimes people who are close to your heart, they are on the downward path. And Solomon warns them, it is better that you consider this ways of your life. Then he gives a warning. The warning is this. Do not respond foolishly to either the prosperity or the adversity. Do not respond foolishly either to prosperity or to the adversity in life. Now again, I want to bring up Solomon again. Remember who is the writer here. He has seen everything under heaven and he says all are vanity. He has had everything in life, prosperity. He had the wisdom, he had the knowledge, he had the power, the best nation ever lived on the face of this earth. He was the king. And such a man says, please don't act foolishly. Verse 2 to 4, he says, death is the destiny of every man. And I'm not ignoring the fact that the Lord comes, none of us may see the death. I'm not talking about that part. But generally for man, every man, it is, death is the destiny. Therefore, he says, the living should take note of it. Those who are dead and gone, they can do nothing. Zip. They're gone. Their time is up. They disappeared. They are gone and eternally gone. Either to one place or the other. We don't know. Only the Lord knows. But the living should take note of it. That's what he says. We cannot pray for, we cannot teach them, we cannot do anything about those who are gone. But we can do something about those who are living. So Solomon says that living shall take note of it. This morning I hope, and you and I, personally me I should say, to take note of our life. And then he says, such a reflection about your life will lead to two things. Such a reflection of your life will lead you to two things. One is, will lead you to a moral lifestyle. Number two, it will lead you to a character, a godly character or behavior. Only if you think about, take heart on and reflect upon on your life. The problem with me is sometimes you can, you know, there's an advertisement about this battery, you know, going, what is that called? Energizer battery. The bunny, going. We all can do that in our life. We can get started in life and keep going and not knowing where you are going. It is good for us to stop and take a reflection of our life. I would say every day if possible. Or at least very often in your life. That is exactly. Reflect upon the life that you have. And then you will do wisely and behave. You have a moral life of morals, selection of moral life, and use wise behavior and character. Now he also talks about the foolish people who are foolishly making that choice. They choose, verse 5 to 6. 5 and 6 say, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Don't you ever be in that category? Listening to the advice of the fools. Well, generally speaking, the fools, doesn't matter how educated, how high level of understanding they have, position in the society, if they don't know the Lord, they are number one fools in my book. Don't be taking advice from them. He says, foolish pleasure is vain and frivolous. It is better to give heed to the warnings, corrections and rebuke of the wise than to engage in foolish pleasure. Sometimes we try to advise and teach not only the younger one, others within us, but they just goes over their head. If Solomon says it is better to take the advice of the wise and not to listen to the foolish and enter into their pleasure. I can think of many young people that I know of. I'm sure you can too. I'm not talking simply young by age, young spiritually I should say, who has walked away in their walk like the energizer bunny, kept going and going and not knowing where they are going. And I hope you know that every day. Take note and stop and think and reflect upon it, the shortness of life and the prosperity God has brought to you. Don't be acting foolish, so says Solomon. And verse 7 to 10, he has another advice. The adversity and prosperity brings temptation. We read that verse. People fall into temptation because they have everything they want. They can do whatever they want. They have the freedom, they have the money, they have the health, they have the free time available, nobody is watching me. So therefore, I can do anything I want. Adversity and prosperity brings temptations. Sometimes, not only the prosperous people do what they do, but people who have gone through difficult times and sickness and sorrows and sufferings and poor conditions in life, they are also tempted. So they are also tempted to do the wrong thing and fall into some temptation. Solomon says they get into bribery and gifts, and to satisfy them, they become very impatient. Anybody impatient in this room? Don't raise your hand. They become very impatient in things, and they are easily provoked to anger, he says. So either condition can tempt you to these things, according to Solomon. Anger provoked to anger. Well, my time won't permit you to go through very much of detail on those things, but you know what I'm talking about. And then he says that such people will always complain about their lot. Always complaining. Every one of us in this room, you have a lot. Say lot. Well, let me read the words come to my mind. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, the very last verse. This is the commandment of the Lord to Daniel towards his end of his life. That this is what the Lord said. He tried to argue with God in the previous, not argue, asking questions to the Lord in the previous verses, but here is what the Lord said. But you go, Daniel, but you thou go thy way, the envy, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Every one of us, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are building up your own lot. And when the time is up, you will stand in your lot. That is what the Lord told Daniel. And today, what Solomon reminding us is everyone who is acting and thinking foolishly about the life they have, they will complain always about their lot. Have you come across people who always complain? Anybody? I have. You know, they are never happy. They are never satisfied with what the Lord has given. One principle that I have seen from my experience in life is, or from the scriptures is, if the Lord gives you some things in blessing, in prosperity, in various ways of life, and if you are not satisfied with it as a general principle, the Lord will not take you to the next step. But if you are faithful and thankful and satisfied with where the Lord has put you, and thankful to the Lord and use your life wisely, He will take you to the next level. It can be in the spiritual life, it can be in the other prosperities we looked at. People who are never ever satisfied with their life, this is Solomon says. And I'm sure there are many people that you and I can think of. And if you are one of them, don't raise your hand, but be satisfied with your lot. God has given to every one of us. Don't be complaining about what Samathai has or James Abraham or anybody else has. He has given you something. Are you faithful? Are you happy? Are you satisfied? Are you being faithful to the Lord in what you have given? Have you used it wisely? Have you used it for the blessing of the Lord's people and glory to Him? Have you made wise choices? If not, don't be complaining of your lot. That's what Solomon says. Complain about lot. And then some people, you know the story of Israel. They were brought from Egypt to the promised land. Land of milk and honey. You know what was their problem? They complained about the past. They said, oh, I wish we had been there. We have the onions and we have this and that there. I wish we were in the old, good old days. Longing for the past, good old days. I come across people like that. We are always thinking about the good old days that we have in life. Forgetting that you have a life now and be used wisely. Solomon says that is what the people do. When the foolishness comes to our mind, we complain about our lot and we think about the good old days. I'm not suggesting that we should not think about the past. That's not my point. My point is to complain about, oh, I had a good life in the past, now I am miserable. No. But you have a life now. Past is past. Learn from it. But live according to what the Lord wants you to live. Verse 11 to 12. He says, verse 11 to 12, 11 and 12. Well, I lost my page here. Verse 11 and 12 says that wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. The excellency of the knowledge. What knowledge is he talking about? Well, Paul says that I may have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I want to ask you this question. Most of us are believing Christians in this room. What is your level of the excellency of the knowledge of God? Where do you stand in relation to your knowledge about God the day you came to know Him and now? Maybe it is 5 years, 10 years, 25 years. In my case, it's long years. I even forgot. Where do you stand in the excellency of the knowledge? I want you to pause for a moment and think. It's very easy for me to sit here and or stand here and say, any one of you are not growing. But how about me? Where do you think? Where you are? This is what Solomon says. He says that there is the knowledge that will help you. In verse 12 says, that wisdom gives life to them that have it. And Solomon did foolish things many times in his life. He had the best wise man ever lived on the face of this earth. But you can tell, read through his story, he has behaved wisely. Or not wisely, I should say. He has not used the wisdom that he had. And he warns others who are in similar situations. Now he goes on to verse 13 and 14 with the next few minutes in front of me. Verse 13 and 14 he says, consider the work of God. This morning we sang, oh Lord my God, then when I in awesome wonder consider your work. Every time I purposely go out and look at the creation that is around us. You walk out and look at things, but sometimes you don't think. I don't either. But there are times I will look out and say, oh, the wonder of creation. Sam was mentioning the other day when he came back from his vacation time, the places he went, instead of thinking about anything else, he was thinking, he said, oh, the wonder of creation. Have you had that experience? I am sure you all have been visiting places of things that are interesting. Go around the globe and look and see the wonder of creation. And then he says, consider the work of God. For he who can make straight that straight which he hath made crooked. In other words, what God has done, even your eyes, it may look crooked, but that is what it is. God made it. You may not like it, so be it. There are people question, why did God do this? Why did God do that? We will never understand what God did, what he did. He is in control. He is still on the throne. People may find fault with God's ways, and I come across people who do that all the time. But no one can change what he thinks, or whether it is wrong or unfair in our mind, we cannot change God's plan, what he did. That's what he says in verse 13 and 14. Just what we can do is one thing, simply submit to God's sovereignty. Enjoying good times and remembering the bad times. But submit to God's sovereignty. We have our own dear ones going through terminal cancer, terminal treatments, going through difficulties and problems, sickness. You name them. Will you be ever able to understand why? Probably not. Don't even try, because Solomon says you will not understand why. What God does. You and as a believer can do one thing that Solomon recommends us here is to submit to God's sovereignty. He is sovereign. He is on the throne. He has not changed. He is ever is the same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same we sing. He is the unchanging God. So submit to him, says Solomon. Then in the last 15 verses, within the next 5 minutes, he brings the conclusion of what he has been talking so far. I will just simply read what he has written here. In verse 15 to 29, he says, ignorance of the significance of righteousness and wisdom. The significance of the ignorance that man go through about righteousness and wisdom. So understand this passage, what he's going to just about talk about the next second section of the book, of the chapter. We have considered at least a few things from the previous verses. Solomon has seen wicked prosper, unrighteous perish. That's what we read in verse 15. Solomon says, I have seen the wicked prosper and the righteous perish. How many of us have seen that? Righteous God's people, godly men and women who are going through sufferings and sickness, things that we, you and I, have hopeless. Sometimes we visit some people like that and say, man, I am helpless. I wish I could help. The righteous suffer. This is not a new story. It didn't happen in the 21st century. It's been going on at least for 5,000 years. And Solomon says, he has seen it. Wicked prosper and righteous perish, verse 15. And then he says, do not depend on self-righteousness. Again, we come across people like that who are so self-righteous in their thought, so self-righteous in their arguments, and they think they are the only one right, everybody else is wrong. Don't be fooled by such thought, not only about others, but also for ourselves. Don't depend on self-righteousness, verse 16. No one is righteous enough. Listen to this. No one is righteous enough, Solomon says, to avoid sin. Nobody in this room is righteous enough to avoid sin. You and I can easily fall in sin. I normally quote David, God's man who is God, according to God's own heart, he fell. Solomon, who had everything and the most wise man on the face of the earth, he fell. So he says, therefore, no one is righteous enough to avoid sin. The beauty of the sin for you and me is 1 John chapter 1 verse 18. If you confess your sin, he is righteous to forgive you all your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Beloved, we have a Savior who is on the right hand of God, our high priest, arguing, interceding for you and me. Use it. You have a solution. We will sin. I don't claim I am not. I have not sinned. I don't think anybody in this room can sin. Then John says you are a liar in 1 John chapter 1. But we have a solution. Don't be self-righteous enough to say I don't sin. But we do. Whether it be big sin or small sin, we do. But we have a way out for it. Of course, it is not a license to keep on doing it, but we have a solution. No one is wise enough to understand God's scheme of things in verse 24. He says, this is what he says, that which is far off, exceeding deep, who can find out? People are still trying to find out what is way up, far, far, far above. And people are still trying to find out what is there, deep, deep. Nobody has ever reached. And Solomon says they will not reach. And the danger in indulging in wickedness, because God, listen to this, because God did not punish one sin in your life, in some cases, should not be taken as a license to continue in sin. Well, you do one sin, no punishment. You do another one, no punishment. Don't think God has forgotten it. Solomon says, because God has not punished you for one sin, don't keep on doing it. It should be a warning for us that it will come. And death before your time. This is a fearful thing. People have been called home earlier than they should have been called home. And I'm not saying everything is cause of sin. First Corinthians 11 says, people who have participated in the Lord's Supper unworthily have been called home earlier. Before time, Paul, Solomon says that your life will be shortened if you behave like that. Verse 23 to 24. There is limit for wisdom that a man can have. True righteousness and true wisdom are non-existent. There is no such a thing among human being other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. True righteousness and true wisdom is only found in Christ and Christ alone. And we are part of him, and we are attached to him. We are, our resources in him and through him and by him. And therefore we can claim it for ourselves, but it's not in us. That's what Solomon says. Reason for man's universal, then he says at closing, verse 21:9, lo, this is only I have found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Man has a reason for man's universal perversion is this. It is because he has devised himself things outside of God's will. God has done one thing. He has set the rules. He has set the rule for family. He has set the rule for your life. He has set the rule for everything. But man has devised his own. And that's what Solomon concludes with saying. These are the warnings that he gives after explaining verse 1 to 14, the things that men go through and you and I go through. I hope, I know I covered a lot of ground here in a short period of time. I hope you will take it seriously, including myself. Life is short. Don't act foolishly. And you will be accountable for God. God, our Father, we thank you this morning. Once again, we can come together and look at the scriptures. Speak to my heart first, and every one of these dear people of God. Thank you for bringing us together once again. What a precious thing. What a glorious thing that we have in our hands. The written word of God to admonish us, to correct us, to challenge us, to give us strength and power to live in this wicked world. Commit us to the throne of grace. May our time of fellowship back in the room, maybe a fellow time of it, bring glory to you, and following Sunday school classes for the adults as well as the children. Pray for Brother Thomas Rajan as he starts a new series of studies. We pray for the blessing upon him. We give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus.